You about ready? Freddy, stay ready. Put down that bowl of spaghetti already. Enough of that weight gaining stuff. Time to get up, get out, get going, and time for me to get on with my show. From the beautiful downtown spacious, gracious, bodacious, and hellacious basement of Bozo's Bar and Grill and Tons of Wash Station, this is Marty Ford live on BBSRadio.com with my show, You About Ready, live 9 p.m. Eastern time zone on BBSRadio.com. Here I am once again. My, how a week goes by. And time, your best friend, by the way, which you know if you've been listening to me here on my weekly radio show, seemingly flies forward, not backwards, since you must get out of being stuck in the muck of your past to move to your future, where you might make your own good luck and maybe a few bucks. It's time to push your refresh button as I stop at nothing when it comes to empowering you to accomplish more than you ever thought possible and have some fun along the way to the journey to your success. This is the place where we raise your awareness as you listen, learn, and laugh your way to beating boredom, the enemy of us all. And the good news for you is that you can allow yourself to be a kid as you think back to the days of fun when you did most of the day was run, and run some more, often to the candy store, which again is fun. It's being a kid. As you age, change comes to your stage. What was once all the rage has begun to show on you. So what are you going to do? It's time for you to get up, get out, and get going, and enjoy life on your terms, with you making the right choices and decisions for you, since what you do for you is the best thing you can do, and not be concerned what others say, think, and do, which is often nothing, going nowhere, while you go and arrive somewhere. I'm full of, among other things, juice. I'm on the loose. Once saw a full-grown moose, wore a tie the other day, felt like it was a noose. I remember way back from the Danny Thomas show, Uncle Tanus, strong like bull. You remember that stuff, don't you? I think you do. Well, played ball tonight. Sad to say, I forgot to put the insoles into my sneakers. And let me tell you something, it was like, what did I say? Let me tell you something. I am telling you something. Oh, cliches and filler. Sick of it. Stuff like a chicken or a Thanksgiving turkey. I forgot to put the insoles into my sneakers, and it was like running on bricks with broken glass. However, I'm looking forward to Thursday. Hopefully, I'll remember to put my insoles in. By the way, next year, can the NBA cameras please stay away from LeBron James when he's not in the game and sitting on the bench? I think it's poor image building for him. Having the camera on him biting and spinning his fingernails and rubbing and digging around near and sometimes in his nose. I know he's nervous and he's got energy and all, but the camera doesn't have to watch us doing those personal, somewhat nasty habits in public with millions of people watching you spit fingernails. If I cut my toenails, the missiles fly and they're lethal weapons. So I stay away from my wife and kids when I do it. So we had played ball tonight. It was a good run, hot and humid. After the first two games, I was completely drenched, refreshed, though, with a bottle of water, trying to avoid those kidney stones, which come from dehydration, I'm told. I didn't learn it the first time. I had to learn it the second time, right? Stupid. You just can't fix it. And I did that, so I try to take precautions and keep moist and hydrated. Drink water. That's what I do. Anyway, we had a new guy come to the game tonight, introduce himself. And what did he say? He grew up and went to the local high school here, and he moved about 10 years ago. He moved away, and now he's back in town. He made two phone calls to guys that he knew who he thought were still living in town. Both guys still come to our games. They've been playing with us for about 5 or 6 years. These guys are under 30, maybe 27, 28, married with kids recently. And two phone calls. He found the game where he is always welcome. And it's official. Now it's official. He's on the mailing list. I saw him give his email to the commissioner of our unofficial league. Remember, you're only two phone calls away from talking with the person you need to speak with about whatever it is you are seeking. And remember, it's not who you know, it's who knows you. Two phone calls away from getting to that source, and it's not who you know, it's who knows you. And that's how people run the system and manage their lives, through connections, right? personal connection, not this social stuff out there, although that might help too. Good thing about June is we can say three magic words, not who got next or who's got, I got next or whatever that is, what we say at basketball, but next month, football. Though I'm sure the sports shows will be filled with filler until opening day. But we can say football is on its way. So we're going to move along, and we got, you know, talking about play, you don't stop playing because you're old. You get old because you stop playing. Be a kid. Play, laugh, run, jump, swing, splash, chase at the playground. That's why they call it the playground. You play at the on the ground or around the ground. The social network where you learn life lessons. That used to be our social network, and many kids still is. Unfortunately, not enough, because they're connected to the electronic world and being brainwashed by stuff that prevents them or impedes them from getting out and playing. And we did all this, we learned the life lessons, we played, and we socialized without even knowing that what we were doing, and we're learning all this good stuff that we carry through later in life. There's no need for head jockeys, meds, treatments, and therapies, which are limited in what they can do. Just get out and play. Be a kid. Get up, get out, and get going. You'll be glad you did. Hey, I made a rhyme, and I wasn't even trying to. Brainbusters, critical thinking. We want to empower people, right? And we always give examples, and we have examples of critical thinking, because when you're thinking critically, you're aware. We want to raise your awareness. You want to raise your awareness. I want you to achieve your goals, and if one of them is to raise your awareness about your world, your life, and the world around you, then that's good, and then you can do it for somebody else. So we always start the show with something to make you think, and after you get the answers, a lot of people have little indentations in their forehead from banging their the palm into their head, saying, "Oh, I knew that. That's silly. I should have thought of that." But we're not thinking about it because we're too much, not even in or out of the box. We're, the box isn't even in our scope. So last week it was, in what battle did Napoleon die? And of course he died in his last battle. There's none after that once he's gone. This week, you might need a pencil or paper to write these things down. You have to list, write, or name six or more things you can wear on your feet that start with the letter S. Six or more things you can wear on your feet that start with the letter S. I bet you're going to get three or four right off the top, but you might have to think about the rest to get at least the six. And I will tell you, I have 10, not 10 feet, although I do have big feet, but how many feet in a yard? You know that? 3 feet in a yard? But I knew a guy with 2 feet. Wouldn't fit in anybody's yard. He had some big feet. This week's tidbit of useless information. Did you know that butterflies taste with their feet? Maybe humans should do this. At least they would get some exercise lifting their feet to their mouth, and they wouldn't have to ingest anything. And they could even bite their toenails, right? Which I've seen guys do, especially when I was in the military. Shocking that I saw them do it in full view of everybody else, because it was an open bay barracks with no walls, just bunks and metal lockers. But it was a little bit revolting. But you know, see guys do other things in the showers, like relieve themselves and scratch and all that kind of stuff, and just do stuff you do in private. After a while, when taking a shower in an open shower area with six shower heads coming at everybody, six guys in there, there's no secrets, there's no humility, you just do it. We even had toilets. Ready for this? This is wild. I remember in the military, we had barracks and had toilets, and there were no partitions or no walls or stalls or whatever you want to call them. It was just three bowls on one side of the room and 3 or 4 feet across the other side of the room were three more bowls, and the three faced each other, right? So you could, you know, you could be reading, you could be having a conversation, you could be making all kinds of bodily noises, relieving yourself, feeling good about yourself, making sure all the plumbing and systems work, and taking care of the delicate tissue at the same time, checking things out, inspections, you know, you got to do that, self-inspection. But guys, after the first few weeks, nobody was going in there if someone was in there. And then after a while, you know, no holes barred, no rules, you just go in, do your business, and that's it. Although I did train myself to go get up at an hour or so before wake-ups and take care of business, because I was a little embarrassed or shy or whatever at that time. But I have since outgrown that, and although I don't, we have a single bowl in each of our bathrooms at home, which is fine. So butterflies taste with their feet, and I don't know if their feet taste good. I know mine don't, especially even after I shower, because you still have a little stuff left off. You can't get it all out. Maybe the lint between your toes. Some pun fun. Who knows? This might be the one that makes you laugh, stretching your neck like a giraffe. Better than consuming half or a full calf. I'm reading a book about gravity. I just can't put it down. Aha. The cliche. Now, we have some cliches. I attended a couple of seminars today, unrelated to each other, and I'll talk about that in a minute. One on the smart board, which seems to be in vogue now in out there, and the other on health benefits and healthcare, which was completely consuming and confusing. Anyway, we have some seminar at the seminars today. We heard some of our tried, true, tested, and overused, abused, and violation of our critical thinking to come up with more appropriate words. It's almost automatic speech. Wrote, thank you very much. Have a nice day. Boop. Thank you very much. Have a nice day. Boop. That's the way we speak now when we don't take any time or prepare more appropriate words, different words that maybe they'll become cliches one time. But the seminar today was loaded, both of them. And they were done by different people at different times, so they didn't know each other and all. We heard moving forward, same page, transparency, and of course, the one and only, amazing, especially with the smart board, because the smart board can do so many amazing things. Unfortunately, I just found out, it's just an extension of your computer, laptop, or desktop. It plugs in. It extracts everything out there. It has a lot more features on there, and you don't need the mouse. You can point and use your finger and all that. And I hope it's durable because some people have long nails. But anyway, it's amazing, and I must have heard that in the two-hour presentation. I should have kept little marks on it, but at least 15, 20 times the word amazing. This week, we're head over heels, which is kind of goes along with biting your toenails. If you're head over heels, physically it's tough to do. I guess the yoga folks and some gymnasts can do it, and it might be quite a feat to accomplish that. Put your head over your heels. I don't know what that means. Somebody tell us. And we have, what else do we have? I'm sorry. I apologize, or my bad. The trifecta of things and people looking for forgiveness. I'm sorry, I apologize, or more currently, my bad. And they did something I just read where some big executive owner of a company was apologizing for the tweets. Here it is. I might have said this last week, but it's on the Snapchat guy. Apologizes for his idiotic emails he wrote when he was in college, probably bullying people, being rude and crude in his college years, and maybe being a bit of a bum, and again, the bully type stuff. Oh, I'm sorry. And the problem is with going for that, now that he's big successful, he wants to clean up his history and try to make amends for it. But how do you make amends? How do you make up for someone whose life you might have ruined by what you said and what you did and how you acted and behaved towards that person? How do you do that, right? How do you correct the long-term damage that is caused by the most vicious, wicked part of your body, the tongue, right? We just violate human beings with our speech and our verbal attack and abuse, and then we write about it. So it's an extension of our tongue into a pen and pencil and paper. But the long-term pain stays while this guy goes on living large, maybe being philanthropic to try to build a good reputation, but apologizing for his past. I say, no, we don't accept that. Because when you forgive somebody, they're going to do it again. So please avoid people like that. And don't forgive. Be careful how you give out your forgiveness. So last week I told you about the towel story. We bought a new towel. And I got to say, we used it for a few days. It was washed. And I used it tonight. And I come out. And it's still, I'm still wetter than the towel. With all this high-tech towel technology, with fibers and cotton and whatever, the weaves and whatever else, however they plush and lush. And that fuzzy stuff sticks to my face no matter how close I shave. I mean, I can scrape them until there's nothing left. But the fuzzy stuff still finds a place around the neck and the chin. And my wife picks it off, right, like animals cleaning themselves of bugs and stuff out in the wild. So She picks the lint out, just like the belly button. With maybe that's too personal. So we have to do something about towels. And hopefully by next week or in the next few weeks after several more washings, it'll be matted down where I can actually get dry. And when I put on my after shower ensemble, it won't be wetter than me or than the towel. So summer's here and the schools are closed, or they will be closing soon. And the building is shut down, locked down. I know they have to clean it. They got to buff the floors and wash the windows, all that maintenance stuff. But many towns are looking for rec centers or teen centers or places to go. And they have it built into their town. It's the school. But for some reason, it's dormant for 3 months, June, July, and August. Some of June, July, August, and maybe the first up until Labor Day in September. It's not used for activities. It can be used for so many great things. First, the gym can be open and a schedule can be made and boys and girls can play, right? They can play volleyball or basketball or kickball or dodge, whatever they do inside. Jump rope. Well, they can do that outside too. And it's a great place to go if it's raining so the kids aren't home in front of the brainwashing box electronically destroying their soul and their spirit and their passion for life, right? Dumbing down to reducing themselves to what's in front of them on a screen, cell phone, computer, or TV, or any other kind of pad or book or whatever else is out there. Right? Then you make a schedule for kids to play. And it can also be used to accommodate the grown-ups. Grown-ups will volunteer. Guarantee there are people in town who will volunteer a few hours of their time. Why? So they're not sitting at home eating what they shouldn't be eating, doing nothing, reading a newspaper or listening to the brainwashing box. They'll be out. They'll socialize. They'll interact. Think about when your kids were in elementary or middle school and there was an event at the school, a concert, an art show, field day, and the parents went. Parents had as good a time as the kids and let the kids play. Although some did hover and watch every step that the kids took, but they got to let them play. So the parents can do what? They can go and use the art facilities, bring your own stuff, or everybody pool some money and buy some stuff. Careful not to use the school stuff that you pay for anyway through your taxes. They can use a computer room. They can use the music room. They can use the library for a book club, have a quilting club, board games, card games, whatever it is. They have a community center. Every town has at least one because every town has an elementary school. Second is a middle school. You want to open it up to more people? Bring in the high school. But we have all these facilities at our disposal, and they shut them down. They're locked out. And kids need places to go, things to do, and a place to play indoors. There's many indoor activities, and for the grown-ups too, like I said, and also play at the playground outside on the swings and the climbing bars and seesaws. They still have a seesaw? I don't know. But anyway, let's use the school building. If you're in town, advocate, be a spokesperson for it. Coordinate something. Get out there and it'll happen because we just can't let the schools not be used by the people who pay for them year round, right? You don't need the teachers there. The custodians are there year round and if they have to clean up a little bit, that's okay. That's what they get paid for, right? Childhood is not a disease. It's not a disease. Times change. Definitions change. The power of definition. Back in the day, there's a cliche that I haven't said today. Well, kids would daydream. Now they have ADD or ADHD. Oh, my God. Behavior could be explained by the raging hormone syndrome back then. Today, you're bipolar, right? Or schizophrenic. Or what's the other word? Bipolar, schizophrenic, or manic depressive. I have an MD after my name. My parents always wanted to have a child with an MD after my name. Yes, I am. Manic depressive, right? Mostly dumb. And now someone who's a loner is someone who's depressed. And this is a tough one because these are the people you have to watch, right? Because they're going to go out and do things that we don't like them doing. Bang them up, blow them up, shoot them up. We don't need that. Get them off the street. Been saying it for weeks, maybe a few months. Put the folks who are vulnerable to violate the rules of society and literally exterminate others and ruin the lives of families and people in their wake, hopefully taking themselves out before they take anyone else out or cause any harm or damage to people. Forget about property. We can replace property. can't replace people. Think about what's going on in the past few years. It's incredible. Why are these people out? And it's known. Somebody knows something. You can't fart, and 20 people don't know about it within a minute. Somebody knows something about these. Usually the people who protect these kind of folks, these damaged kind of folks, through legal issues like HIPAA and confidentiality and privacy laws. I understand all that. But they're a threat. You never know when they're going to explode. They're the bomb waiting to go off. We don't need that. We don't need to be sequestered in our homes, hovering over our kids, afraid to let them out to go somewhere. We've got to put these folks out of circulation. I'm saying these folks, the ones who are going to, that have been causing the damage that someone knows about. Put them out of society. Remove them. And let people who were basically harmless out of the prisons. The marijuana people. Eric Holder, I think he's the attorney general right now. He's all in favor of this. Reducing sentences. Getting people out. Putting putting the marijuana people back on the street. As I said, they're harmless. All right, a little weed, some Malamars, and they're fine. So they're not going to cause the damage that the other folks do, and it's not good. Here's an amazing, right? Here's a study from Harvard, so it has to be true. Speaking of medication, a few years back, Harvard, right? We talked about that. Someone who went there for college will automatically open their introduction by saying, well, when I was at Harvard, when they're talking to you, as opposed to most people who say, well, when I was back in school or when I was in college, so forth and so on. But not the Harvard folks. They got to stick it to you. Anyway, they stuck it to somebody and probably got funded by the government, us, in some way. They wanted to reiterate what many in the psych professions already know. Americans are addicted to antidepressant meds. Right? We're addicted to them. They pop pills like they're candy in an attempt to boost mood and feel better. You're going to take a pill to feel better and feel good about yourself when there's so many simple ways to do it without the medication that you probably don't need, only that maybe the physicians are pushing it because the pharmaceutical companies are on top of them to give them incentives, and the sales folks go on these junkets and trips and vacations and prizes for selling the most, et cetera, et cetera. It's a cycle. The increased sales of antidepressants is up 400%. Pill popping's become the norm. What is that about? The norm to take a pill. Now, in all their findings, they found that turmeric, it's a spice, it treats depression better than Prozac, which is one of the leading sellers of antidepressants, right? Now, they found five things that can help you feel better to boost your happiness, to make you feel good about yourself naturally, right? Without all this stuff. And they suggest, the first thing they suggest is something I suggest every week. I'm not Harvard. I don't have a study. I'm not funded. I'm just a plain, hard, dumb, working white guy. I don't know what I'm talking about, right? But they say to exercise. Wow. What a revelation. Praise God. Go out and exercise. Get up, get out, and get going. Get off the couch, get out of the house, go do something, take a walk, right? Wow, makes you feel bliss. I don't know what bliss is. I know what feeling good about myself is. I know what playing hard tonight and every time I play soccer or basketball or go for a walk, I know I feel good about myself. What's wrong with that? Why do we have to be told by leading collegiate institutions funded probably with our money and... they tell us the simple things that we already know. Simple works best, folks. I told you that many times. That's why people get along with me, because they like the simple things in life, and that's what I am. And number two, that says, spend some time, listen how they phrased it, with friends and family. You would think family would come before friends. They've even changed it to framily, friends and family, on the telephone commercials, right, where it used to be friends and family. I put my family before I would put friends. And I love my family and I enjoy and like my friends, right? The few that I have. And you don't need many. More than a couple takes too much work, effort, and time. And it takes away from you. Not to be selfish, but you end up doing more things. That's why I hate going out with a lot of people. First, it's boring to be with adults. What are they talking about? Taxes, the schools, the coach, the teacher, the contractor, blah, blah, blah. Boring. Total nothing, right? Better be around youth. Go play with kids somewhere. As long as you start, don't mess with kids We got enough of that crap going on. But be around them. Volunteer somewhere. Coach a team. Volunteer at the school, at your religious organization. Kids are the future. Kids are energy. Kids have passion, right? And they're basically innocent and harmless. And you can have fun with them. You can joke around with them. They'll make you laugh, and you'll learn from them. I can't tell you how many great music pieces I've learned in the past few years from kids, right? I learned about my friend French Montana and the moolah, because there ain't nothing more important than the moolah. I learned about Meek Mill. Some people go to college, right? But he's from Philly. I'm from Philly. We got a common ground. Maybe someday we'll meet somewhere. But you can learn from kids. So spend time with your family and friends. Flip it the way Harvard said, friends and family. Third one, get outside. Wow, another revelation. Because when you're outside, you're away from the kitchen. You're away from the brainwashing box. And you might be doing something active and physical for yourself. Healthy. Maybe face-to-face social interaction. Shutting off your phone without interruption, right? A couple of kids told me they went out with their friends and everybody put their cell phone in the middle of the table. And the first one who touched it had to pay the bill, right? And they were like itching to get to it because it was beeping, clicking, sound, mute, whatever the buzzer's going off. And no one did it and ended up splitting the check. And the reason I don't like to go out with too many grown-ups or whatever they're called is because you end up doing things you really don't want to do. Like I said, sitting around just talking without doing. Now, you want to go bowling? Want to go for a hike in the woods? Want to do something, right? Not just sit around, eat chips and salsa and guacamole and drink wine or beer and not do anything. Fourth, it says sleep more. Well, you know, the best time, sleep more is good because I guess most of us don't get enough sleep. And there's a lot of, I guess, scientific research for that. But the reality is you sleep when you're dead. You should be up and alive and aware and alert and doing stuff if you have a structured some kind of life for yourself. In and out of work, play, social commitments, fun, volunteering, doing things to beat boredom, the enemy of us all. Now, I list them all in my book, Things to Do to Fight Boredom, the Enemy of Us All, and, of course, Power Your Power. Now, here's the fifth one. The final one, improve your diet. Wow, another startling revelation from Harvard, right? Because we eat too much junk, right? Which is why we're too fat. We are leading the world in obesity. America's number one. Hopefully we can be number one in World Cup soccer. By the way, at World Cup soccer, I'm a little confused. I think there's 40 or 48 countries participating. That's pretty fantastic. And I've watched some of the games. I was very happy to see America win. I like watching all the games. I understand the game a little bit better now that I've been playing it. Even though I don't have any skills, I'm out there running around with the guys who accept me into their game. And I'm just wondering, countries from all over the world, two countries that are light years apart in geography, what about the language? Not the profanity or the cliches, just general communication. How do the referees communicate with, you know, how does a Japanese referee manage a German and a French game, or in whatever the two are? How do they do that? Right? How does a Spanish-speaking referee manage an English-speaking and an Italian speak? I don't know how they do that. Are there headsets on? Are there microphones or something? How do they do that? I would like to know how they do that. Because, as I said before, some of the European guys who come to Sunday pick up soccer with us, they've brought their kids on occasion, teenagers in high school. These kids speak four and five languages. If they're German, they speak French, Italian, Spanish, English, and German. That's five. Many of them do that. I guess that's the norm over there. We can't even teach our kids Spanish, sad to say, because they hire teachers who don't know the language that well or just read from a book, or they hire native speakers who don't know how to teach. And teaching is it's an art, it's a science, whatever you want to call it. You have to be able to communicate and get along with the kids, right? You have to get down to their level to bring them up to your level and beyond. And it works if you know how to do it. It takes a little tact, takes a little practice, and you almost have to be born to do it like some people are born to do whatever they're doing. So the fifth one is improve your diet, all right? Get rid of the fats, the refined sugars, the fried foods, all the stuff we've been talking about. Increase the fiber, right? And increase fruits and vegetables. What kind of mystery is that? We need a study to do that. Where's our common sense? Where's our empowerment? Where's our awareness? Where is yours? That's what we want to raise here. Your awareness about what you're doing with and for yourself. Sometimes we do things to ourselves. And if we're around people who are doing things to us, even if we're doing it, you got to change that. It's unhealthy. With and for is the way to go. So we have a smart cup. We have a smartphone, a smart car, smart home, a smart toilet with the app that can play music while you're on the bowl, taking care of nature's business. One-on-one, you in the toilet, not like me, one with six other or five other guys in there at the same time. We have the smart board, which I went to a seminar today about, and I'm no smarter, I'm dumber. Now I heard one of the guys at the seminar today, hey, there's a smart cup, it costs about $300 for your coffee and all. It tells you the water level, the amount of coffee that's in there, the calories you've used up. How pathetic are we as people when we have to rely on a tool to tell us about what we're doing? You're drinking a gallon of coffee. It's not good. No matter what you do, gallon of soda, not good. Maybe a gallon of water might give you diarrhea, right? Or any of this, but nothing in that volume. But we have to have everything down to the most minute detail, except about our personal lives. We don't seem to be concerned about that, but the world around us, we want everything convenient for us, right? The status symbols, walking around, cell phone, cup of coffee, and not just a cup of coffee, $3, $4, $5 cup of coffee, right? Got to have that. Oh, you go there, right? So they see stars when you bring in the bucks. That's good. So the other health, the other seminar today was on healthcare, which is where the cliches were coming out, as well as the smart board seminar. And at the health seminar, insurance wise, it was like so confusing. There were three people explaining all this stuff, deductibles and co-payments and maximums and percentages. And if you have this plan, it's this thing. If you have this plan, it's another thing. If you have this, and like, whoa, it's like, how much information overload can you take? It's certainly not, that information is not turning into knowledge or wisdom anywhere along the line. Right? It's not, well, actually it starts out as information. Now it's knowledge. It's not getting any wiser. It's not making us any wiser. Again, it's making us dumber because we just throw up our hands and say, well, whatever it costs. And rates keep going up. Services get cut. So what kind of doubleheader is that? No good. It's like when a company, I've seen advertisements in one of the states, mid-Atlantic states, say, bring your business to our state. No taxes for 10 years. And everybody said, well, that's cool. Jobs will come, construction jobs, finance jobs, bank jobs, workers will make money. Some of the money won't even arrive there. It'll go somewhere else, which always happens. They'll have cost overruns and budget problems and replacement parts. This is just as good as the real stuff, you know, to reduce the cost, keep it down, and then money is all over the place. Now the thing is built, right? And so what happens? Workers move into town. When workers move into town, you need places to live, which is cool. So constructions of housing might go up, or rehab houses that they show on TV where within 30 minutes they take a dump and make it into a palace with open concept living, whatever that is. And so now you have all these workers and they have places to live, but now you need services. You need what? You need firemen and policemen and trucks and stations and firehouses and EMT guys and places for them and their trucks and vehicles. You need more schools. You need teachers. You need more town officials and administrators and all. And who's going to pay for that? Not the corporation and the company that moved in there, because they got a 10 or 20 year get out of jail card free for paying taxes. So who pays for it? The people who moved there. So you come in, you're making a decent wage for a while, and then all these services are needed to service the people who live there, and who pays for it? The people. So they thought they're making this much. It's like a kid when they get their first paycheck, a real paycheck, not street pharmacists or people working under the table. They work at a supermarket. They work 10 hours. Maybe it's $8 an hour. They're expecting $80 at the end of the week when they get their check, and they bring home $68, and they say, damn! Where'd all that money go? Well, now they are official taxpayers. They are official taxpayers. How about that? And it's a shock to them. when they say, wow, I've been working all this time and I got nothing. So anyway, at the health seminar, there was one guy, he seemed pretty astute. He's in the business 23 years, putting all these packages together. I don't know if he's an actuary, an accountant, whatever an actuary is. He's actually an actuary, an accountant. But, you know, he's a numbers guy and trying to make things work and telling everybody how good the plan is. And I'm asking him, why does a plan, healthcare, cost $25,000 for a family? Why is that? He couldn't explain it, right? He did. He said, well, because of this expense and all. And I said, why does a procedure, you told me a procedure like a colonoscopy could cost $300 to $500 if it's done at the doctor's office. But if you go to a medical center or a hospital, it could be $8,000. What kind of spread is that? That's ridiculous, right? That's why if you go to one restaurant, a hot dog is $1.50. Go to another restaurant, hot dog's $250. It doesn't work. It's a hot dog. It's a colonoscopy. It's an invasion of your parts. But hopefully, if it's preventative, preventative examination, it's worth it. And I think they come out with new stuff to drink that's not as disgusting as that previous stuff you had to gulp down the night before and the morning of to cleanse the delicate area inside your body. So I had mentioned the fact that there's a simple way to do this. And I have the simple way to cure the health care ills. Forget Obamacare. That's the no care. You got to swear off. People are getting kicked out of that too, and the price and its cost, and who knows what it is, right? It's another government type of scandal, if you will, and it'll break out soon like all the other scandals in the world. So I said the infrastructure's there to have it work. The infrastructure is Medicare and Medicaid. What's wrong with that? So it has 20 to 30 or 40% of its money attributed to bribes, graft, corruption, and stealing. So if we clean up that by half, look at all the money you make. And he said, if you have open enrollment, make it available to more people, and pay the doctors accordingly, because sometimes he said Medicare pays $300 for a procedure, private pay might pay $6. So meet them halfway and give them $450, right? No one's going to balk at that. You have plenty of business, and they'll be happy. They'll make money, right? But we don't do it. We have the infrastructure already there to satisfy national health care for everybody. And don't call me socialist. Don't make names up because we have socialism all over the place. It's called Social Security. How about unions? How about any organization? AARP, whatever it is. They're all forms of socialism, right? This is not socialism. This is providing health care for all American citizens. And here's how you do it. We have a population of about 300 million. You take people of 21 years of age or older, maybe there's 150 million. We can change the law to 18 to raise this money, and the numbers will rise. We limit the bet. We're playing a national lottery here, folks, because we're never going to satisfy the insatiable quest that people have for gambling. And it's not gambling because you're going to get health care and a chance to win some money by doing this. So we have 150 million people. They bet $10 a week. That's per person. That's $520 a year per person. The gross income is $78 billion. We take off 15%, which is high. Probably around 10 is better, but I went 15 of $11.7 billion for expenses. We have a net income of $66.3 billion. But we're going to take more money away from that because in this lottery, we're going to weekly guarantee a payout of $25 million. One person wins it, they get it. And however many people it has to be distributed to, we're giving out $25 million every week. That and you get paid if you got two numbers, three numbers. Get some 14-year-old kid to make up the chart to make this work, the payouts and the numbers. The first year, we're going to pay out $25 million a week. The payout's $1.3 billion. That leaves us, oh my God, with $65 billion to start the fund, right? Now you can subscribe for 1, 5, 10, 15, 25 years. Gather all the money all at once. Invest it modestly, 2 to 3% in some kind of safe investment and see how that money grows, right? 2 to 3% is what you need. Maybe 4, but 2 to 3% in an investment will grow that money exponentially. How's that for a word? You pay it out, like I said, You know, if somebody gets all six, if two people get six out of six, you split it and divide it. If no one gets it, then the next people divide. You're not coming home. You're not leaving any money on the table. Every week, $25 million gets out. All prize money is distributed in lump sum payouts with no discounts for taking the cash, the way many of the lotteries have now. You know, cash means discount. Not with my plan. You win $100, you get $100. All the prize money, bum ba da bum, tax free. It's yours. Government already got their share. They don't need more. You know, people win $1 million, think they have $1 million. They don't. They probably come home with $650 or $600, unless if they take the taxes based on the payouts. All the prize money is distributed through electronic mail, direct deposit, so we don't have to have a lot of clutter going through. Direct deposit. The drawing's held on Wednesday at 10 p.m., right in the middle of the week. Get over the hump, right? And try to get some money. So there it is, plain and simple, just like me. I said simple works best. It'll work when we make it work, when we get enough voices out there to say, hey, we got the infrastructure. Here's a system to raise the money. We'll get a payout system. Let the people in charge come out with an equitable, fair payout system so the people providing the services in those fields are happy with what they're doing, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, if you go to a restaurant and you walk down the aisle and you say, oh, what, and the waiter says, what do you have when he seats you at the table? I'll have what he's having. Same thing. I'll have what who's having. The congressmen, the senators, the governors, the presidents, the vice, all the people down there who we're paying for. We're paying for them. They're getting insurance, and we have to pay for our own. What's wrong with that? Right? It's not socialism. It's a community. It's a community concern that can be resolved very easily. Very easily. Right? National Lottery to your health. Call it the To Your Health Lottery System. Somebody out there listening has to understand what I'm saying. If you want to call in the station here, I forgot to mention, it's 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. If you want to send me an email, the email address is hamp73@gmail.com. hamp73@gmail.com. You can also download previous shows by going to www.bbsradio.com/youboutready, the name of the show. Or if you have one of the mobile devices, an Android or a phone, you can download an app and listen to some of my previous shows where you can listen, learn, and laugh and have a good time. Father's Day was the other day, last Sunday, which is great. I hope everybody was able to celebrate in some capacity and observe in any way. And we always have this cliche, what goes around comes around. When my brother and I were kids, we would get our father, you know, cufflinks. You guys remember what cufflinks are? People still wear that stuff? Maybe for tuxedos. By the way, two women go to a prom or a wedding or some kind of formal event and they're wearing the same dress. It's a crisis, a panic. They run home crying and screaming, maybe not returning. But 100 guys can be there wearing a black tux, and they all go, my, you have good taste. You have good taste. I don't know. There's a difference, right? We always talk about differences. Men and women, offensive and defensive linemen, moving a boy into college versus moving a girl into college, and so forth. There are differences in life. So what goes around comes around. My brother and I got Dad some cologne and ties and cufflinks, right? Which we, my brother and I, would eventually end up using or wearing. Right, and Pop had no problem with that. He was happy to have it because he didn't need. He's a minimalist, like very limited, not limited, but we don't need a lot of stuff. Our family, we just go with the basics. But we always wanted to show respect and love for our parents, and got them something of thought that we ended up using. So I got some shirts from my our kids the other day, and I said, wow, that's a lot of shirts. You know, it was three or four shirts, matter, beautiful colors. And my son said, Dad, don't worry. If you don't want them all, I'll take two. In fact, I bought two of them with the mindset that I would take them because my son would take them because he liked them. I said, I have no problem with that. What goes around comes around. Does anyone know I exist? I'm alive. I'm here on this earth. Try shaving only, men, only half your face, right? Maybe one cheek and one chin, or one side, cheek and chin, and for a couple of days, and see if anybody notices in your daily life at work, in the neighborhood, going to the stores. 30 years ago, as part of a team that was putting in new systems in a corporation, I was part of the research and training process there, and I did all the writing and the training of all the executives and managers and leadership out there. And while we were writing the new procedures, we did an experiment. It was three guys, me and another guy. Incidentally, this is where I learned about corruption on expense accounts. That's another story. We'll get into that. If you don't use it, you don't get it next year in the budget. So you got to use it. Even though breakfast costs $4, you got to put $14 down. That's called stealing, folks. It's unethical. Well, but they do it, and it's not just there. Anyway, we wrote procedures, and in a procedure, we would embed some profanity, some gibberish, some nonsense, and all the executives and the leaders and the directors and all had to sign off on it. And sure enough, the procedure would go out and circulate, come back, and everybody signed off on it. I mean, they didn't even read it, right? They didn't notice. Does anybody notice what we do out? Does anybody notice that I'm here on the radio? You can call in. You can send me an email. I don't know who's listening, if anybody, right? We don't know that stuff. Maybe someone does out in cyberspace. Am I just talking to air, which maybe I'm doing, and I'm full of hot air. So they just sign off on it and bring it back. And this is two or three pages, not a lot of documentation to read, right? And all of them signed it, and they all said it was a good job, and some wrote some comments, and I shook my head in disbelief. And this is 30 years ago, maybe a few more. I lost count of it, right? We're creatures of habit. We just go by rote. We do that with meals. I was stationed with a guy overseas. Every day was a hamburger, french fries, and iced tea. We got sick of that, like 3 months of that every day. So we went to another restaurant down the street on base, and where every day they had four specials, like a turkey, a ham, a spaghetti, a roast beef. So we went there, and they had the turkey, ham, and spaghetti, and the fourth choice was sirloin steak. What did we get? Sirloin steak. Why? It came with fries and iced tea. Sirloin steak is a hamburger with a little gravy and a mushroom on it. We're creatures of habit. Go to the fast food restaurants and people order the same food. They don't read the menu. They look at the picture and get the number. And that's what they order. We all do that. We got to break those habits, folks. Got to get into good habits. Just like Harvard said, sleep, get out, exercise, talk with friends and people and family. Simple things. Right? Maybe Harvard is as simple as I am. I don't know. I don't think they are. I couldn't get into Harvard on my best day of anything. They don't want me. I don't meet the criteria in any capacity, right? Because, you know, we played outside. We didn't play online. People called our name, not our cell phone. And if you didn't eat what was cooked, you didn't eat. There was always two things at our house, take it or leave it. I know I'm old, but some of these things still work today. Too many choices. Which all started with Howard Johnson's and 28 flavors of ice cream, one flavor of food. Go to the store and try to buy a pair of sneakers. I don't know how anybody makes up their mind. First, you have to figure out what you want: running, walking, comfort, basketball, track. So, and then within that category, there's 20 selections or more. You got to get the color, the material. It's ridiculous, right? And it's hard to do that. It's hard to do that. We have too many choices. You know, and then Howard Johnson's got one up to buy Baskin and Robbins, and they had 31 flavors. And I used to make ice cream in an ice cream store, and I could have made. I made a list one time. I think there were like 75, 80 flavors that we had available. Not all at one time. Some were seasonal, like pumpkin. Right? Like pumpkin. We're just fishing here through the paper. This mess, thus saith the Lord, the high almighty strength of our existence and salvation, who has us gather, listen to his song, telling us stories, interpreting his word, guiding us through our day, doing things his way, instilling fear, guilt, and remorse we acquire each day into our souls as we continue to cast away his word, choosing instead to make choices and decisions based on our own need for greed and soon to be legally weed. Fear not the evil that dwells inside the depths of our existence. Follow his lead. Save your soul. Bring the Lord into your world. Accept his righteous teachings, for he knows what is best for you. Deny the temptations. but not the Four Tops, Marvin Gaye, Smokey, and of course, Mr. Jackson. Lift your spirits, praise his work, rejoice in the coming of the Lord. Savor each moment as nourishment, embrace his grace, uphold his commands, and above all, send me all your money! For it is he who will offer redemption of your transgressions, teaching you valuable life lessons. And the Lord, he ain't one to be messing. Mail your tax-free donation, a blessing for your creation, throughout this and all nations, whether you are watching me on television or listening to me on your favorite radio station. My favorite radio station is bbsradio.com. To expedite your donation, call the toll-free number that appears on the bottom of your television screen. Folks are waiting for your call. Remember, you don't have to give your all, just maybe 10 to 30% of your worth. After all, the machines are here building in addition to my palace, I mean place, and they are waiting to move some earth, like Carole King and what she felt under her feet. In addition to receiving salvation, you will find in your incoming mailbox a set of 4 CDs and a video of my most uplifting messages for you to watch and listen for years to come. A separate invoice will arrive with your gift, and payment again is tax deductible. You'll never do sinning, so continue to pay. You're never done sinning, so continue to pay. I mean pray. Can I get an amen and a hallelujah? Religion, folks, they're selling you stuff. Listen, the Pope just fired his entire board at the Vatican for financial watchdog. They couldn't take care of the money. Maybe some was going into their own pockets in the count room. Now, here's one that's even better. An archbishop, he's under fire for his vulgar home-building project. He lives in a 4,500-square-foot home in a suburb, 5 bedrooms, 3 baths, 3-car garage, elevator, and a swimming pool on 8 acres. I thought they took a vow of poverty. And how many people are in his family? There's no wife and kids, right? Now they're tacking on a 3,000-square-foot extension, spending $500,000, mostly from the sale of church assets, right? Now, it's vulgar. The church is changing around him, said a parishioner. He loves the pomp and circus. He loves the robes. That's his world. It's an obvious tone deafness about him. And he's not deaf. He's just taking all that money that you're giving him. And you know what he said? He said, the archdiocese has implored parishioners to reconsider their protest of not continuing to contribute to the church. What is that about? Where's the money going? It's like the money you send overseas to help poor people who have nothing in underworld, undeveloped countries. The money never gets there. Bag of rice and a bottle of water gets there. Where'd the money go? Where's the money at the VA for our veterans? Folks, veterans, www.connectwithveterans.com. www.connectwithveterans.com. My website. Want to raise money to give to veterans who are getting shafted all over the place by the ones who are supposed to take care of them and whose trust they have or they thought they had. They're stealing all the money down there, giving themselves bonuses. Guys are dying, and it's a waste. Complete fraud. It's a sham. Shut it down. My website is going to connect veterans. It's a twofold thing. It's going to connect guys, people, women who were in the service with their buddies from years ago, continue that special relationship that's unique, unlike anything else, even more so than the mother-daughter relationship, which no one can figure out, even a mother and a daughter. And the money's going to go back to veterans. I'm going to take a few bucks to help pay for the website. $25 registration fee, not much. Pack of cigarettes is $9, $10. $10 annual renewal fee. That's another pack of cigarettes. So for three packs of cigarettes, you're in. Sign up. The money's going to go back to the veterans. I'm going to manage it. Open books. Transparency all over the place. I'll show you my underwear. I don't care. But we got to get rid of this corruption in the world, and especially people. And they want the parishioners to continue to give so this guy can live large, large, and larger. Right? I wonder what size he is in men's clothes. It's revolting and disgusting. Pollination in this great nation. I have to find this because it's a good way to close. Oh, yes. Pollination does relieve certain things in your body, right? My penis is hard. My scrotum is smoking. I need some vagina, and I'm not joking. It relieves stress, this pollination. It's a great form of exercise. Lowers high blood pressure, right? It builds your immunity system up. makes you look younger. Aha. Maybe clears up the acne, too, adult acne. Has a healthy heart in there. It's good for pain relief. Let me tell you something. I'm in so much pain, I could probably have pollination 5 times a day and not get it. But I can't do that anymore. Not even with a 5-hour energy drink and a bunch of those little blue pills. Can't do it. Once in a while is all right. Builds trust and intimacy. Yes. How about love, right? That's what separates us. It's the love. It's the intimacy. People play games to avoid intimacy. That's what they do. When you're intimate with someone, there's no game playing. It's just love, and it's beautiful, and it's wonderful. There's fewer chances and risks of cancer, right? Probably among other things, right? Especially prostate cancer. I think that's why so many men should follow the rule of his father was a lonely fisherman, but he was a masturbator. Relieve the stress and the pressure that's down in their delicate areas, and maybe you'll be healthier. I don't know, you'll have stronger pelvic muscles. Wow, that's a good one. Stronger pelvic muscles. I must increase my thrust, right? So, it goes back to prostate protection. It induces sleep, right? Now, of course, guys roll over and they're wide awake, and a lot of times the women fall over, and whoever your partner is, and the TV will go on, or I'll go downstairs and get some juice and come back to bed. But yes, you sleep better. You're relieved. There's a certain, those chemicals that are released in your brain. You feel good. So you don't have to procreate. You can protect and pollinate, right? For women, it'll increase, make your menstrual cycle more regular, which is fine. And it prevents ED, right? Bob Dolan is ED medicine. Dysfunctional, man. Can't get it up. Can't get enough of that stuff. That's why you take a little blue pill, right? ED, extraterrestrial. And you'll live longer. Well, no one can tell that until you die, and then you keep a chart. And you'll have healthier semen, right? Not the guys in the Navy, but you'll have healthier semen, and maybe there'll be more active swimmers when you're trying to make that third or fourth or fifth person in your family. So pollinate, folks. It's good for you. And it didn't come from Harvard. It's coming from me. How about that? Oh, my goodness. It's wonderful. Here's a goal for next week. You have to have a goal. We're running out of time. Oh, my God. See, I'm going to give you the goal next week. We're running out of time here with Marty Ford live on bbsradio.com. Remember, you can send me an email at hamp73@gmail.com. hamp73@gmail.com. You only you have two hands, one to help yourself and one to help someone else. Empowered people know and do this. This is Marty Ford live on bbsradio.com. Power up your power, because the power is in you.